Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Thank you so much for being here. Those of you who are here and also those of you who are tuning in on iChurch, it is a blessing to have you with us this morning. There's a lot that has gone on this morning, so I'm going to use the time that I have. First of all, happy Father's Day. On a day such as this, it's appropriate that we are in the Father's house on Father's Day. And when we talk about the Father, when we really talk about our salvation, when we talk about our relationship with Yahweh, it is about having a relationship. And a lot of comparisons go out when we talk about our relationship with the Father. Shepherd to sheep, right? You've heard that. Slave to master, you've heard that. King to his subjects, you've heard that. But the most important and meaningful expression or description of our relationship with Yahweh is father to child, father to son, or father to daughter, right? Unfortunately, we get things mixed up because when we talk about our relationship with the Father, it's supernatural. Powerful. But a lot of times we get in our mind and we want to relate our relationship to Yahweh as if it equals the relationships that we've had sometimes with our own father. Right? We think we come in here with a little shell shock. Maybe we didn't have great relationships. Maybe we didn't have a father. Right? So we come into this situation with some baggage because we're expecting some of the heartaches that we experienced in our other relationships, our natural relationships, and we're expecting that our Heavenly Father is going to take us through that stuff. I'm here to tell you that's not so. I don't care what you've been through or what you have been lacking in your relationships. Your relationship with the Father is the most incredible relationship you will ever have. Is there anybody that knows what I'm talking about? Because it's not always the slave, the master, sheep, the shepherd, and all this. Go to Galatians. A lot of us have failed relationships. Some people have had daddy issues. Don't worry about that. What he's trying to do is show us a whole nother experience, a whole nother dynamic. And that is why we have the hope that we do. If we go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, you got it? Okay. So Galatians, the 5th chapter, the first verse. Unfortunately, in a lot of these relationships, failed relationships that we've had, there's things that we say. I know a lot of people that say, you know, I didn't have a dad, so I don't celebrate Father's Day. I didn't have a dad, so I'm not coming to church on Father's Day. You know, or, you know, my dad was, he passed away, and it's difficult for me to handle that. So I'm not coming, and I'm not acknowledging the relationship with the Father. Well, for me, when things keep you from doing something, it sounds like bondage to me. Sounds like you're trapped in a way of thinking that you need to be freed from. And a lot of times we put ourselves in bondage just by our thinking. We limit ourselves just by the way we think. And he's saying, I came to solve all that if you just give me a chance. So the Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse says what? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Mashiach has what? Stand fast means walk in this freedom. I've delivered you. I've set you free from all that stuff. Right? And not just set free, made free. What's the difference between set free and made free? I mean, there's a difference. Tell your neighbor, there's a difference. See, if I set you free, I could take the chains off and you can go running. But that means that you're just a runaway slave. Meaning you've been set free, but all of the things have not been put in place for you to stay free. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So, but when you're made free, I done got your paperwork together. I done said, no, they no longer have to be a slave. They are a free person, and then they can show their documentation. You're documented, and so that means if you run in, go anywhere else that they may not know you, you can say, you know what? I've been made free. Does anybody want to be made free, or anybody want to be set free? Right? So that's what the difference is, right? And so when we talk about this, a lot of times he's made us free from all these things and these thinkings, and we've created our own cage, if you will. But he's saying, I've set you free from all that. I've made you free from all that. And so he says, and be not entangled again with the what? Yoke of bondage. When you became saved, when you made him your savior, you were free. You were made free. He already paid the price for you, right? And so when you've been made free, you got to understand that you got to stay free. And nobody's going to bound you up in a way of thinking. The only person that can bind you up is you. So he's saying, let go of all that stuff. I've made you free from that. And the second verse says what? Behold, I, Shaul, Paul, Shaul is his Hebrew name, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Mashiach shall profit you nothing. Because a lot of times people were thinking, okay, I gotta go by the law. I gotta go by the law. You know, it's about what I do. It's about what I do. And he was like, no, it's about your relationship with me. It's not about the stuff that you do, but it's about the relationship that you what? Have with me. A lot of people thinking that they saved by the stuff that they do. Well, I'm a good person. I do this and I do this and I do this. But what about your relationship with the Father? And unfortunately, he was speaking to the church of Galatia, where they had got caught up in this thing where, no, we're gonna follow the law to the letter, and the Gentiles are gonna follow the law, and everybody's gonna follow the law. But there was no relationship. And so Paul was saying, listen, I need you to focus on relationship. And so when we talk about Yahweh being our Father, it's a relationship. And we go to the third verse and it says what? For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. That means you got to do all this stuff. And it's not based upon that. Fourth verse says what? Mashiach is become of no effect unto you. When you focus on the stuff, you're not focused on your what? Relationship. A lot of people get caught up in this thing. Well, you know, I'm afraid to go to hell. So that's why, you know, I want to run to God. You afraid to go to hell? You afraid to fry? So you afraid to die because, you know, that's not the motivation he wants. He wants you to come to him because you love him and you acknowledge that he loves you. The motivation is love, not hell. I could I
I could care less about hell. Why? Because if I focus on my relationship, I ain't got even, hell ain't even no issue. Focus on the love. And you got to continue to walk in that. So these people were caught up in that. And so he said, it's of no effect to you whatsoever. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So you're not even thinking about the love that factors in here. So go to the third verse, third chapter of Galatians. And so we don't want to be those people that are so wrapped up in the horizontal stuff that we're not getting the vertical, the relationship between him. Say it's about him and me. It's about your relationship. It's about him and me, you and him. And a lot of times people want to make about the relationship to the person. Tell your neighbor, I love you, but it's not about you. I mean, I'm just saying, it's not. And a lot of times we get caught up with this vertical stuff. And it's not about, and we'll let people, you know, the person next to you might step on your toe and you say, I ain't going back to that church no more. Because you're basing your life on a vertical relationship instead of basing it up on a horizontal relationship. Me and him. And I don't care what you do. Tell your neighbor, I don't care what you do. You ain't gonna separate me from my God. Right? Don't get it twisted. So when we go to the third chapter of Galatians, and I'm rushing because I'm trying to get this into the time frame. Third chapter, 26th verse says what? For you are all children of Yahweh by faith in Mashiach Yeshua. Why am I reading this? Because the number one thing that I want you to walk away, one of the points today is that your relationship with Yahweh is where your identity is. One of the problems with a lot of us is that, well, who am I? You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. All of that is based upon what? Your relationship with him. If you have the right relationship from him, he'll be able to talk to you and let you know exactly what you should be doing. Those people would be like, hey, I don't know what I should do. I don't know. I don't know where to step. Are you trying to figure it out in your own head, or you got a relationship? If you got a relationship, then he'll tell you. Is there anybody here that don't know what they should be doing? Don't raise your hand. But if you don't know what you should be doing, you need to check your relationship. And if your relationship is right, your walk will be right. And so it says, we are the children of Yahweh by faith in Mashiach Yeshua. So it's in him. And we're his children. He didn't say we were his slaves. He said we were his what? Children. It's a relationship of a father relating to his child. So when he does that, there's love there, right? And he wants you to succeed. So go to the 27th verse, which says what? For as many of you as have been baptized into Mashiach have put on. You know, a lot of times we're always looking to assimilate other people. Ladies, sometimes you see Beyonce, you want to put on Beyonce. You want to put on her hair. You want to put on her makeup. Why? Because you are trying to emulate who? Beyonce. Some of you brothers are trying to be Denzel or Jay-Z. You're looking for somebody to identify with, thinking that that is going to be the direction of your life. And some of you say, oh, no, I would never do that. But then when you go to the beauty shop to get your hair done, you got a picture of Beyonce, Halle Berry, Whitney Houston. Can you make me look like this? Any beauticians in the house? Terry, is that what they do? They bring you a picture every time. I'm not a beautiful This is what she says. If you go to Terry's shop and you bring her a picture of a celebrity and you say, make me look like that, Terry just said, she tells them, I am not a miracle worker. Because people are trying to put on that on you. You think that you're going to be all that if you look like that. And he's saying, put on me. If you want to live life abundantly, put me on. That means take on my attributes. Take on the things of me. If you want to follow after somebody, follow after me. I'm your father. Follow me. And that's what he told the disciples when he met them when they had their nets. He said, drop that. Follow me. Emulate me. But try to be like what? Me. It was an interesting story that I heard about shepherds in New Zealand. And they had a couple of problems in shepherding. One problem was that they would have the sheep, and that ewe lamb would give birth to like about two or three sheep. And then one of the sheep would die in the process, and the mother lamb was traumatized because she knew that the sheep had passed away. And so it would hinder them. They would stop eating and all this stuff. The second problem was that they would have another set where a mother would have the lambs, two or three or so of them, and then the mother would die in childbirth. And so you had two situations where you had the mother that died and left the lambs, and then you had another situation where a couple of the lambs died. And so they said, well, let's bring the lambs that don't have a mama, to the ones that lost. But then the ones, when they do that, then the lamb would smell the lamb that they brought to them, and they reject them because they'd be like, that's not mine. So what they would do is this, how are we going to solve this problem? So it may sound gory, but they would take the baby lamb that died, and they would skin it. And they would put that skin on the baby that they were trying to get her to accept. And once they put that skin, laid it on top of it, she'd smell it, and then she'd start taking care of it. And after a while, they were able to take the skin off, and the lamb now had a relationship. Well, I thought that story was interesting because Yeshua wasn't skinned, but he died on the cross for you. And because of his sacrifice and us receiving him, Yahweh, when he looks at you, he sees Yeshua. So anybody covered? That's all I'm saying. And if you want the attributes of Yahweh and his blessings, you got to put on what? Put on Yeshua. And how do you put him on? Once you receive him, start acting like him. And when Yahweh looks down upon you, he sees his son. And he says, you know what? They want of mine. I'm going to take care of them. They want of mine. I'm going to answer the prayer. They want of mine. I'm going to move in their favor. Anybody need favor? So that's what we're talking about. And so when we go here, let's go to Galatians 3 and the 28th verse. Actually, the 23rd verse. And this is the fast version of what I want you to get this morning. 3:23. Next point. When Yahweh is your father, he wants you to succeed. The 23rd verse says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Anybody know about the law? Before Yeshua came, they had this law, but it was almost impossible for them to keep the law. And people were like, well, we can't do this. But he's saying, I gave gave you the law so that you would have some guidelines. So that by the time that everything is revealed, you'll understand that you need me. Right? For instance, I was in first day of high school. And I was in this algebra class. And first day of school, she gives us a test. I ain't never had algebra before. But she gave us a test, and we're like, how you gonna give us a test? We ain't ready for this. We ain't learned nothing. I mean, I know my divisions, but I have no idea what this is. So she said, no, I want everybody to take the test. So we took the test. And once we took the test, she realized that everybody failed miserably. So she was like, well, now I have something to teach you. Now I know that you need to learn something. Just like before Yeshua came, we had that law. He was hanging on to the law, but now we know we can't make it without him. Come on now. Can't make it without him. And that's why he gave us the law, because he wanted us to succeed, but he wanted us to know that we could not do it by ourselves. We needed something more. We needed the Savior. We needed the one. And Yeshua, his name means he will save, he will rescue, he will deliver. So we wanted that. And so the 24th verse is what? Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And the translation of that is the guardian that teaches you and brings you up to another level. That's what it means. So the law was our what? Schoolmaster. It was teaching us in what? Bringing us up. To bring us up unto who? Messiah. That we might be what? Justified by faith. Right? So say the word is a schoolmaster. Right? So he's given us the tools that we need to what? Be successful. 25th verse is what? But after that faith has come, we are no longer under what? A schoolmaster. Now we have graduated to Yeshua. So go here to the fourth chapter of Galatians. Hallelujah. You're talking about our relationship. And this is a beautiful part of it. Galatians, the fourth chapter, the first verse. You got to say, I got it. We're finding out the difference. What does it mean to be a child of Yahweh? Fourth chapter, first verse says, but when the fullness, first chapter, first verse. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. Let me explain that to you. If I am an heir to an inheritance, and I am 4 years old, right? Well, because I'm a child, I'm not of the age where I'd be able to what? Enjoy the benefits of my inheritance. I'm just a what? Child. So because I'm in that situation, it's not different from being a what? Servant, because I can't do anything with this inheritance. And it says, though he be Lord of it all, meaning I can own everything, but if I'm just a child, I have no idea what I'm getting and what to do with it. I mean, what would a four-year-old do with a Ferrari? They can't drive it. They has no idea. Second verse is what? But what is the child? The child is under what? Tutors and governing until the time appointed of the Father. So he doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed, and he's giving you all the tools that you need as his child to what? Succeed. Third verse says what? Even so, when we were children, We're in bondage. And this is what I want to get to you. A lot of times, we think as believers,
well, God is always trying to keep me from fun. He's trying to keep me from doing the stuff that's fun. He's trying to keep me in this box.
Dude. Let me, if you don't already know, if you don't have a relationship with Yeshua, you're already in bondage. You're a slave to sin. That's why when you get involved in that stuff, you can't help yourself. I don't know why I keep doing it. I don't know why I keep smoking. I don't know why I keep getting drunk. I don't know why I keep, smoke, which kind of smoking are we talking about? There's a lot of smoking. I don't know why I'm doing crack, marijuana. I don't know why I gotta keep on having sex. I don't understand. Well, and you thinking that he's trying to keep you from that, you already a slave to sin. The devil already got you in bondage. You can't even get out of it. He said, I came to free you. He says, even so, when you were children, you were in bondage. Anyway, under the elements, what? Of the world. And had it not be for me stepping in your life. See, you are already in bondage, and what I did, I stepped in and I freed you from that. See, I'm trying to get you into a better situation than I found you in. And a lot of people want to think that you was living it up. When I was in the word, I was living it up. You don't think about those nights where you found those mornings where you woke up and you couldn't even remember what happened the night before. When you woke up with a headache that you couldn't even get out of bed. Or you woke up ashamed. Oh, hey, check this out. You woke up with something next to you and you had no idea. What did I? And I did that with that? Somebody did it. Don't raise your hand. But then you want to say everything was so cool. Everything was so good. I was having so much fun. But see, the devil don't want you to remember the pain of it. He didn't want you to remember that you lost your job behind that stuff. He didn't want you to remember that you had to go to the clinic to get something cleared up behind that stuff. It's the truth, though. So don't get it twisted. I didn't come to put you in bondage. I came to what? Release you. Because you're already in bondage for the world. Fourth verse says what? But when the fullness of time was come, Yahweh sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He sent his son for you. Fifth verse says what? To redeem them that were what? Under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Let me explain two words to you before I let you go. Redeem them that were under the law. He was talking to an audience in the first century. There were certain things that they did. One of the things they did was, if you were a slave, you were bought. And you could be purchased as a slave, and you performed the work, what? Of a slave. Then they had people that did not believe in slavery, and so they would buy you because they had the means to do it, and they bought you with the purposes of making you free. Saying that, I'm going to buy you out of this situation. But then once I buy you and I purchase you, I'm going to free you and release you. So the concept of redemption that's what it meant. I'm going to purchase you with the expectation that I'm going to make you free. See, he's that kind of father that says, hey, I didn't give birth to you, but if you come to me, I'll redeem you. And the second part is that nowadays we know the word adoption. We come to think of it as, well, you know what? Oh, I feel like having kids and I'm lonely, but you know, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna bring kids in. There's two things. You can be a foster parent, right? And they pay you for that, right? There's money that comes with that, and then you can adopt the kid eventually and all that. Well, it was a different concept then. The concept of adoption was this. Said, hey, I have all of these riches and all of these benefits, but I don't have any kids. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a child that can carry on my name, and I'm going to give them everything that I have and leave it to them and let them carry it on. So they would look for kids that wasn't their kids and be able to say, I'm going to take you on now. And not only that, I'm going to give you all the stuff that I have to offer, all my riches, everything. That was what the audience in the first century understood about this statement. So what does it say to us? He's saying, check this out. If you come to me, you're already in bondage. So I'm going to redeem you from that situation. I'm going to purchase you by the blood of my son, Yeshua. And not only that, I am going to make you free. I'm going to get you all your documentation together that no matter where you go in the world, you're free. And then I'm going to, once I release you, I'm going to adopt you and put everything that I have in your name so that you can carry on the family name in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I'm going to take you out of slavery. I'm going to free you. And then I'm going to adopt you and give you my name, that everything that comes with my name, all the benefits that come with my name, you'll be able to operate in them just like me. Does anybody want to be adopted?
Right.
Is anybody adopted?
Already.
Tell your neighbor, I'm already adopted. So that means, listen, this, what you got, and you know, that situation was, it was very rare. It was very rare that someone would come up to you and say, you know what, I want you to carry on my family name because I don't have no kid. It happened, but it was what? It was almost like winning the lottery. And anytime it happened to somebody, that person was extremely excited and appreciative. I'm trying to let you know, because of the situation you were in before he found you, the bondage that you were in, the fact that he made you free and then called you his child, somebody ought to be excited and appreciative about what he did. It doesn't matter what your father situation was before. You got a father. And this is the last part of it that I got to give you, the sixth verse. And because you are sons, children, Yahweh has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts. He's given you all this, and then he gives you the spirit. Crying, Avi, Abba, or Avi, Father. And this is the last point I want to give you. Trust me, it's the last one. Avi. That word is almost the equivalent of daddy. But when you adopt somebody, you missed those formative years a lot of time. You missed that baby part, right? Where, you know, stand up, Apostle, I'll use you because, you know, you my daddy. Okay, so I could come to you and I could say, thank you, Dad. You know, wait, thank you, Dad. Yeah, right? I could do that. But IV is like this. Daddy. I have to have the freedom to be able to operate in the spirit of Avi. That I can go to my father and not just be like, hey, thanks, Dad. Yeah, thanks, Dad. Yeah. But I can embrace him and say, you're my daddy.
That's what Avi means.
So not only has he taken you out of slavery, not only has he made you free, not only has he given you an inheritance and given you his name and all of the things and benefits that come with it, but he's also given you the ability to freely have the spirit of Avi and that love that you can just lay on your father, that you can just call on your father, that you can just love on your father. And a lot of times when people adopt it, they don't have that. Because when my daughter would see me when she was a baby, she was like, Daddy! Right? And one time we were in the store and she, you know, she was short running around. And so there was a few of us there, and I think it was Terrell or somebody. And so she grabbed onto his leg like, Daddy! And she looked up and she was like, ooh, no. That ain't my daddy. Because, you know, she just grabbed on that leg. But she didn't have that right to grab on his leg. Now he got his own baby that she can grab on the leg. But she had that freedom to know that she could come to me. And she knew I was going to take care of her. I'm trying to let you know, no matter what your heartache was before, no matter what your situation was before, no matter what your relationships have been before, doesn't matter anymore, because you serve a God that's done so much for you. He's done so much for you. He's demonstrated so much to you that if you have him, you have everything that you need.
Yes, yes.
You have everything that you need. And what I mean by that is this. If you're satisfied with your relationship with him, everything that you need, he will manifest. Right? The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. I'm saying right now, let's give some honor to our Heavenly Father.
Lord.
Thank you, Avi.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Avi. Thank you, Avi. Father Yahweh, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach, thanking you for the ability to not only call you Yahweh, but to refer to you, Yahweh, Avi, our Father, Daddy. The love that comes with that, the benefits that come with that, the joy and the acknowledgement that comes with that, but also the responsibilities that come with that. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, continue to minister to us. Change our concept of our relationships. Let us put our strength and our energy and our faith first in our relationship that we have with you. Show us how a father treats a child. Father to son, father to daughter. We in turn, when we put on Mashiach, we can operate in your attributes and we can show that same love to our children and to others. Father, we thank you for being an example to us. We thank you for your sacrifice of Son Yeshua on the cross for us. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted, but rather we embrace you. Continue to minister to us your love, your grace, mercy, that we can live at the higher level that you're calling us to. And we give you the glory for that. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give him the glory this morning.
Hallelujah. Tell somebody, we have a Father. And we love our Father. And we give glory to our Father. Just give glory one more time to Him. At this time, we want our ushers to come forward really quickly. We're going to let you go. We know that we had an abbreviated service today. We just want to remind you, tomorrow's not a holiday, right?